Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Project Alexandria is a collaborative project to acquire, renovate, and reuse the former hospital facility located at 5500 Stewart Street in Milton. The city and Lighthouse Christian College share the goal to create a state-of-the-art educational hub that will provide post-secondary, college, workforce, and vo-tech training.
I think this is an opportunity for the city to potentially utilize a facility that otherwise may likely be abandoned. It's approximately 63,000 square feet of one-time state hospital that could be repurposed and put to a different use. The city has pursued a project at this location for approximately 18 months.
There's the city manager for the city of Milton, Randy Jorgensen, and the assistant city manager and also the economic development director, Ed Spears, introducing Project Alexandria, which turns out to be Project Lighthouse Christian Academy. And basically the idea is the city is going to be trying to buy this building from the state today. They're actually going to unseal the bids at noon today in Tallahassee, and we'll find out whether we won. There was $500,000 in an appropriation last year for this purpose, so the city's not spending any money. Lighthouse Christian is going to put in whatever the difference between 500 and the actual bid is going to be. I think 550 was the minimum bid, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong about that. But, you know, basically in the meeting last week, you had Ed Spears telling the council, hey, don't tell anybody what this number is, because if the number gets out, then other people will know how to bid against us. Don't do that. But here's the number we're thinking about. There's going to be $3 million of basic renovations needed, including $600,000 for the roof, just to make the building usable. They're going to apply, the city's going to apply for a CDBG, a community development block grant funding of about $5 million in order to get additional work done. But the, you know, Lighthouse Christian says, look, you know, it'd be nice to get the money, but we have a bank's balance that we can do the work that we need to do. We are capable of making this happen as long as we actually win the bid. So you had Joanna Johannes, who was the CEO and president of Lighthouse, show up at the Milton City Council meeting last week to talk about the project.
This is an opportunity for everyone. And over the last couple of months, we were looking at different communities. But Lighthouse and Milton go together very well. I believe that. And we've already started another campus, a K-12 campus here on Dogwood, at one of the churches, and that is starting up in August. So I believe that this mission has been guided, so I just want to go through everything with you all and hopefully that you will agree.
And also, not just love for Milton, but like, we had choices.
I think this is going to make history for Milton, okay? Proactive city leaders get together with a school that has 20 years of success, and we can put a college anywhere. We could have put it in Pensacola, which we started to do, Gulf Breeze. We have schools in Fort Walton Beach and Mary Esther right now. We just started one in the Florida Keys. But Milton is, in my heart, what is supposed to happen.
Oh, man. Like, I love this. Like, she feels like it's a God calling, right? Which is, you know, how she feels in general about their organization.
I believe that if we have a college here and we can do trade education as well as getting bachelor's in business or a bachelor's in educational leadership, we are going to build up this area, and it's going to be quick.
Yeah, and look, if you've got kids downtown, students, you know, post-high school students downtown walking around, eating, living, staying here, building sports, they're big into sports at Lighthouse Christian.
Now, Lighthouse Christian College, we just started this a year and a half ago, and it's because we wanted to keep students here in the area. We were finding that once the students graduated, they had to go to another state to play sports or what have you. But we decided, no, we're going to do this, and the Department of Education was thrilled. They love what we were doing because there was no other school with athletics in the area that was doing this. So our goal is to be an NAIA competitive school. And this last year, our basketball team went and played the NAIA champions. We lost by one basket in the last 10 seconds. So that's, we're going to be champions very soon.
Yeah, and she went through a bunch of the coaches that they've hired and a bunch of their, you know, things that they're doing. So they really, I mean, this is a big deal. We're talking about putting a Christian college in downtown Milton at the old medical building. That's, if you know where the school is, okay, and you know at the south end of the school you've got the plane, at the north end of the school you've got, it's an anchor is what's in my head. I think that's right. It's right across the street from the northeastern corner of the school, okay, in the old medical building that's there, which is a sprawling complex with, you heard Randy there mention, 60,000 square feet. There's kind of, I think, a gym sort of thing, and they, you know, what else would they do there? Well, they want to build everything, you know. They want to make it a full college campus. I mean, think Pensacola Christian College, right? But in Milton. That's kind of, you know, not necessarily trying to compare the two, but you get, like, that's the idea, is a major development for downtown. And, you know, a lot of this started because they lost the Malcolm Young gym. That's where they had been using as gym space when that got, you know, condemned as a bit strong, but, you know, declared uninhabitable, right, until it gets fixed up. They decided that, hey, we need to do something else. So they're trying to move to Milton. We'll come back to this in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And taking a look, we're not showing any slowdowns or delays. We are watching, of course, East Bay Boulevard in Navarre. It's closed south of Coppell Drive. They're working on that drainage improvement project. That's the only thing that I'm showing right now. It's traffic on the fives. And if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yeah, so this is a big deal. Like I said, the bids are going to be unveiled today in Tallahassee at noon. And we'll find out whether they win or not. But this is a comprehensive economic development win. I mean, even if Ed Spear said this in the meeting the other day, he said, you know, even if the city doesn't win this thing, because it's not costing the city any money. That's kind of what's amazing about it. But if the city wins the bid, then you get the school. If the city doesn't win the bid, it's because somebody else has outbid them on that building and plans to do something to renovate it and make it, you know, source of income and whatever benefit that that carries for the community. So it's a win-win either way.
Our goal is to provide dual enrollment in this building, in the Stewart Street building, to provide dual enrollment, trade education, and a bachelor's degree. Right now, we've already applied to offer master's degrees as well. So that'll probably be there in the next year and a half. If anyone wants a master's degree, they'll also be able to get it right there at the Stewart Street location.
So BA, master's, VOTEC is one of the things they want to do.
When these students are here and they're living here and my teachers are here, they're going to, you know, need something to eat. They're going to need things to do. They're going to be in the community. And our vision is to always make sure that people come out of Lighthouse being disciples, really.
Yeah, and even though there's, you know, she's kind of going out on a limb here with the financial commitments that they're putting in, she says, we got a strong enough balance sheet, we can do this. And look, we just love this, and even without the grant funding, we can do this. So it's exciting. Now, if you know Milton, you know from this show that Milton is sometimes a source of drama, and the city council does not always go along with things and doesn't always see things the same way. Let me give you the good news. You didn't hear me bring this on with, you know, Days of Our Milton Music. Why? Because the city council was all on board. Ed Spears went to them and said, hey, let us bid on this project. And I honestly expected to have at least one or two city councilmen be like, I don't know about this. I don't know. Downtown, are you sure? You know, like, I didn't know what they would object to, but none of them did, including Mike Cusack, who has been kind of the new naysayer on the city council.
You said about the housing. Are students going to be living there as well? Is going to class there?
Yes.
And the college, okay.
Yes, because since it was a former hospital, those rooms, that's what I saw at the beginning. It was like, wow.
So they'd be dorm rooms then?
They would be dorm rooms.
Oh, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't personally see it. This is awesome. I think I don't see anything detrimental at all to it. Personally,
it's nice to see the kind of giddy side.
I know.
Mike
I was
going to
say, let's all hold hands and sing kumbaya.
Right.
That's so great.
I mean, everybody was on board. They voted unanimously to support it. Everybody was on board with this. And even, you know, even when, like, Shannon Rice, the former city council member, when she got up and kind of wanted to poke a little bit of questions about the nature of the education, is it classic Christian education or not? And Johanna said, I thought really interesting answers there in terms of their inclusivity.
We're not a covenant school. We do accept people that may not have had a Christian background, or they don't need a pastor's letter to be in our school. We interview and we accept based on our interview, but we are non-denominational, so we accept anyone that can qualify, that has a desire for Christianity, to learn Christianity within their heart.
Yeah, so that would be a very different tone, I think, than, you know, sort of what PCC offers, which is also obviously a fantastic school. But, you know, everything there is rooted in faith, thinking about faith, serving the community, creating disciples, and educated kids who don't have to leave and go somewhere else in order to get the education. That's, by the way, the alternate site for them. They have several campuses that they, several like high school and K through 12 kind of campuses that they operate. The other alternative was Key West. So we're beating out Key West. You know, that's kind of the competitor here, right?
They're using our sand. They are.
Exactly,
we truck
right.
our sand in.
So anyway, so good news. Fingers crossed. I mean, I certainly hope that we win this bid coming up today at noon. 720 here on News Radio 92.3. When you need to have HVAC service done in your home, you want to make sure that you pick up the phone, you get good results, good products, good installation, good prices. That's Peden Air Conditioning and Heating and Electrical. And for all of those services, like you might think of them for AC, but also heat, of course, but also electrical, like any of that stuff. In fact, right now, we're in the kind of the peak preseason. Right, when people are having their air conditioners inspected to make sure they're going to work fully during the summer, not waste electricity, and work full-time when they're on full-time, $49 right now. $49 inspections. Pensacola, Fort Walton, Panama City. Also, if you live in Baldwin County, I've been telling you they're expanding soon. Well, expanding, have done. Like, it's already there. And right now, $29 AC inspections for Baldwin County residents. And the first 400 Baldwin County residents are going to get a free smart care membership. So all kinds of cool stuff going on for Peden. Also, there's a 100% satisfaction guarantee, of course. Find out more information or book your appointment online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you in a situation where you need a miracle? You need God to do something that seems impossible? The Bible explains that without God, we can do nothing, but with Him, all things are possible. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and explains that, and I quote, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." He's speaking in the context of a virgin conception. If God can bring about the miracle of a biological impossibility, don't you think He can solve your problems? In Jeremiah 33:3, God challenges those who need a miracle when He says this, and I quote, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I urge you, call upon Him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
With the largest selection of in-stock vinyl plank flooring at the guaranteed lowest price, Home Outlet is your destination for all of your flooring needs. Modernize your space with easy-to-install rustic loft stone core vinyl plank, including pad, just $249 per square foot. Or brighten your space with the Sanibel Pier waterproof composite core vinyl plank with pad for only $319 per square foot. Visit the team at your local 100% employee-owned Home Outlet to get started on your project today.
Join Escambia County this morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss their upcoming career fair at the Pensacola Bay Center. There are several career opportunities available within the Escambia County government. If you or someone you know is looking for a new career, then tune in this morning at 10:30 to learn more about the Escambia County Career Fair.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3, 95.3, and on the AM dial at 1620.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
Change the lighting in there to be motion after a certain time? Can we you know, what would be our enforcement, you know, with PPD? What would there be, you know, what would they be taking on? You know, obviously they're across the street, but you got to be out in your car and out across the street. And, are we having someone go there at closing time to close the park down? How do you close a park that didn't have a gate funded? You know, that, and do you want a gate? Do you even want a gate in terms of a, you know, beautification? So, you know, these are difficult things. I think that's why we're working through them. And, you know, as I said, we're intentional about getting that done.
So that's Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday during his press conference talking about the questions of, you know, what to do with the skate park now that we've got it open and lit up, but closed at dusk and no fence for enforcement. Well, you know, we'll ask him about that coming up in about 10 or 15 minutes or so. Right now, let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives. Candy?
As I understand, pretty slow over Escambia Bay Bridge at the apex. There's a slight delay. This is headed east as several deputies are checking out something over the side. So slow down, not a stop, but just be aware of that. East Bay Boulevard, Navarre, closed south of Coppell as part of the drainage improvement project. And hey, if you have traffic tips, and thank you so much for sending those in, you can text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to the newsroom now. David Wayne is there with our headlines. David?
Well, the Biden administration signaling that they may be ready to move on from the COVID-19 pandemic, the public health emergency expiring on Thursday, although White House COVID-19 response coordinator Ashish Jha said yesterday that the end of the public health emergency is a transition and not an end. Governor DeSantis targeting unions with a bill he signed yesterday, a new law prohibiting using automatic paycheck deductions to pay the dues of some public sector unions, including those representing teachers and healthcare workers. And just saw this coming out of California today, Andrew, a cell phone video showing a nonprofit organization there handing out meth pipes to homeless people on Skid Row. Lord. A man's video showing members of Homeless Healthcare Los Angeles apparently riding around in a golf cart, passing out these meth pipes. The nonprofit funding this with money it gets from the government, and they say they're helping to prevent the spread of disease by giving out clean pipes.
Okay. I'll just leave it be. Sometimes you just leave it be. David Wayne, thanks so much for the update. 727 on News Radio 92.3. Anyway, won't get into all of that right now. Very weird, okay, very weird story that comes out of a hotel. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Candy, but this is one of those like, oh, no.
Was it one of them? Okay.
No, it wasn't here. Okay. That's the good news. You'll understand why I say the good news in just a second. But so this out of Nashville Hilton. Okay. Guy goes to sleep. No problem. Middle of the night. Wakes up. Seems like there's somebody in the room. Seems like there's somebody in the room touching him.
And he
I
didn't
think
order
him.
It?
No, and he didn't order it. Seems like the somebody who's in the room touching him is the manager of the hotel, the night manager. Seems like the touching involves sucking his toes in the middle of the night. I kid you not. Officer, this is just like, okay. 52-year-old David Neal, arrested and charged with aggravated burglary and assault. He created a key card in order to set foot in the guest room around 5 a.m. on March 30th. And after waking up to Neil sucking on his toes, the man realized that Neil had entered his room the day before to help solve a television issue and thought, well, I think I'll be coming back here tonight. So, wow. Just...
I don't get the foot thing, man. That's so weird. You always hear these stories of people breaking in and sucking toes, and it's like,
but it does make
gross.
You wonder, you know.
Like what happened to him at summer camp?
Well, yeah, you know, not so much the motivations, but maybe he's just trying to, you know, cultivate a new business interest, like the Foot Fetish Association of America might be looking for a convention location. I'm just saying, you know, they found a friendly hotel.
That's a very friendly hotel. That's so weird. Pedicures, sort of,
you know,
at the Hilton.
Of course, the other funny thing about this is, aside from freak, I'm surprised the guy didn't get, you know, I'm surprised there's no
smack.
Violence involved.
Yes,
right?
Because right?
The booking picture doesn't seem to indicate that. There are some people who'd be like, oh, look. Mid-sleep surprise for me. 729 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is kind of a weird one. If you use Discord.
This is? Yeah. Okay, no, go ahead.
No, like, this is the odd story, right? If you use Discord, or you have, if your kids probably use Discord, okay, if you're not one yourself. I know we have a lot of young people who listen as well. Discord is making everybody change your usernames. Their weird policy is you can have the same username as other people, but then you have, like, this invisible four-digit code that uniquely identifies you. Well, people are getting... they're friending the wrong people,
right,
because of this confusion.
Of course.
And so apparently they're going to make everybody change their usernames. Wow. I'm sure all of the non-snarky, fully compliant, non-rebellious gaming community, they're going to totally go along with this.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A day after meeting with congressional leaders about it, President Biden gives a speech in New York today to say Congress needs to raise the nation's debt ceiling.
One thing I'm ruling out is default. And I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to pass a budget that, in fact, caused massive cuts.
I didn't find progress in this meeting.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said there's another meeting with the president scheduled Friday. House Oversight Committee Chairman Kentucky Republican James Comer gives a presentation this morning about Biden family financial records.
We all heard Joe Biden say during the presidential debate that his family never received any money from China. We're going to learn today whether or not that was a truthful statement.
Congressman Comer on Fox and Friends. The White House accuses him of leading a politically motivated investigation featuring evidence-free innuendo. Ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street, Dow futures are up 72. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is mostly cloudy, 75 right now in Pensacola. Well, we learned earlier this week during an interview with Funeral Director Rick Bailey and District 1 Medical Examiner Deanna Oleski that the three funeral directors who wrote letters making accusations against the medical examiner's office last month had been asked to write those letters by Escambia County Commissioner Stephen Berry during a meeting at a local barbecue restaurant. Channel 3 talked with Commissioner Berry about why he wanted those letters.
I said, you know, if you give me something in writing, then, you know, then that makes it where I can potentially do something to help you there. We can, you know, I can get a letter to the county attorney and, you know, the board. We are, you know, partners on the funding side with the medical examiner's office. And I think it's the kind of thing that my colleagues would want to know. But again, they want to know something in writing, not something that's hearsay.
And Hibbert and Waters Funeral Home Director Rick Bailey told News Radio he regretted writing that letter after the media firestorm it caused. He says that the medical examiner's office has now satisfied all of the issues that he had at the time. Well, there have been nearly 50 crashes at the Beulah 9 Mile Road intersection over the last 2 years.
Obviously, one crash is way too many for us as far as we're concerned. We want to get crashes to zero. That is the ultimate goal. Anytime we have crashes in an area, if we see an uptick in crashes, but we're going to look at data over the past 5 years, crash data as well, to look at that information.
And that's FDOT's Ian Satter. He says those startling numbers have now prompted FDOT officials to begin gathering data so they can make safety improvements. They're looking at a range of possible changes, including new signage, better lighting, and possibly even changing the road striping. An Alabama contractor has been awarded a $141,000 contract for Hurricane Sally repairs at the Molino Community Center. That contract was awarded by Escambia County this week. J&B Contracting will be doing the work, which North Escambia says will mostly be scraping, painting ceilings, drywall, and some other painting. This week, local leaders have been picking the brain of a national expert on homelessness. They're looking for solutions towards our local homelessness issues.
When a community really coordinates and collaborates their effort, it can't just be one agency, it can't just be one entity, but when we see that community come together, collaborate with the political support and giving people the necessary services that they need, that's how we're seeing the success.
That is Dr. Joe Savage. He's with the Interagency Council on Homelessness. He addressed both the Pensacola City Council and Escambia County Commissioners yesterday and presented again at CivicCon last night. During his visit, he talked about the federal strategic plan to end homelessness. So far, they've budgeted over $3 billion to reduce homelessness nationwide by 25% by 2025. And a lot of people in Cantonment and Gonzales may have lost power early this morning. Some power lines apparently had been knocked down over on Highway 29. The lines were down just south of Muskogee Road near International Paper. North Escambia reporting that Several vehicles may have hit either the wires or the poles when that happened. They said what caused those lines to come down was not clear. And as of now, though, we're not seeing any substantial outages in that area. 7:35 right now. It's News Radio 92.3. And Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
And speaking, did you see pictures from that? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that's been cleared. 29 not showing any issues. And it looks like over the east, the bridge on I-10, rather, that's been cleared. So looks like they didn't find what they were looking for. Should be fine. East Bay Boulevard, Navarre closed. This is south of Copple Drive. They're working on that drainage improvement project. This will be going on through the end of the month. And if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing a warm and humid day today with temperatures in the mid to upper 80s, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures will stay warm with temperatures in the upper 60s, low 70s. As you go into your Thursday, our pattern continues with afternoon showers and thunderstorms possible, high staying in the mid to low 80s. We are going to be seeing temperatures overnight warm in the 70s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you, Brooke, for that update. Cloudy skies right now and 74 in Pensacola. 75 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Rivian Automotive delivered better than expected quarterly revenue as it sold more higher-priced electric vehicles. The automaker also stood by its annual production forecast of 50,000 cars, bucking the trend seen by rivals Lucid and Fisker, as each trimmed their production targets. The expected production ramp-up of its in-house Enduro powertrains is helping to reach its target and offset part supply issues. Rivian shares up 6% in pre-market trading on the news. Tech sector leaders in artificial intelligence, Google and OpenAI, are both planning to rein in the public sharing of their AI research. As the competition to gain the lead in the AI competition intensifies, the company's decision to keep their research on AI more closely held comes as the two firms find themselves at the center of the race to field new AI applications, a race that could become more competitive with smaller upstarts that gain insights from publicly available AI research. That's Your Money Now.
Parents usually know if their children will argue over their inheritance, but this can be prevented. I'm Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. No one wants to see their wealth wasted away because of poor planning. I've assisted several clients with estate planning ideas and sometimes have served as trustee or executor upon their death. Give me a call at 497-6167. Armada Advisors is charting a better course.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I went by there Saturday night intentionally. It was almost midnight, and you had about 60 plus people still congregating at the park. So I think if we're going to send a clear message, we need to do it early instead of waiting until, you know, months down the road to where we're not enforcing it. So I would like to see if the park hours are from sunset to dusk, and we need to
enforce that.
Yeah.
And, of course, this was DeLaron Wiggins, city council president, talking during the agenda review on Monday about the skate park and the hours. And you heard D.C. Reeves there a little bit talking back with him and, you know, having this conversation, which we talked about pretty extensively yesterday. Joining us now, of course, we have D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. D.C., welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, great to have you. So, I get that this is a little bit of a, oh, what did we do? You know, like, we're kind of in the middle of the rollout, and we don't have a fence, therefore we don't have a gate, therefore we have low capacity for easy enforcement of closure of the park, because we have lights on overhead, which is good, because we don't want bad behavior and graffiti and all of the rest that comes with it. What I keep getting hung up on with this is, it seems to me like, if the kids want to skate, let the kids skate. Why don't we make the curfew on the park not dusk, but, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock? I mean, that seems to me to be a much more, like, user-friendly kind of approach to the facilities that people definitely want to have. Milton, by the way, is 10 p.m.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Those are conversations we had, as a matter of fact, yesterday afternoon. And, you know, I think, really, to back up here, you know, understand this is project's unique in its length of time from conception to reality. It, you know, was going to be controlled privately and then given to the city. Then it was taken by the city under a different administration. Now under a new administration, a new Parks and Rec director. The design began on Parks and Rec, moved to Public Works, where all our projects have moved starting January in 2022. So, no rationalization of why it's 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, but if I were to give kind of the general overview assessment, I think, you know, with a lot of different iterations of how this was going to be built and how this is going to be operated, you know, we probably lost a few things in the shuffle over the years. So, but hey, the buck stops with us, and we're going to figure out a way to, you know, make sure that we do the best that we can. You know, as a business owner in my previous life, I'm not big on posting a whole lot of rules that you can't enforce or didn't have the ability to.
Right.
So we're going to relook at those. And, you know, I've started a conversation with our folks about, do we look at a potential operator? You know, and there's a lot, there are so many different models around the country. Some charge per use, some charge annual, some don't charge at all. Some are 24 hours. There's so many different ways to do it that also have different situations. They might have a fence and we don't. They might have lights and we or not have lights and we do. So, you know, I think we probably could have done a better job of assessing this and looking at not just what the rules should be or what the neighboring town did, but what is our, I think we should mold those into what our unique circumstances are at our park, that where it's located and all of that. And so, we're in that assessment mode that it's really going to be two phases. One is going to be some of those quick draw things that, like you mentioned, do we just go to 10 o'clock? You know, if the demand's there, certainly noise isn't an issue if you've ever been under that interstate. We
right,
know that.
Right.
Skates aren't going to be any louder. But if we say no BMX bikes, for example, well, what some cities do is they have, you know, 2 days a week where you allow bikes. But to do that, we've got to be have an attendant there in some way.
Right.
So, you know, those are all the things that you know, really, you know, probably should have been considered already. And again, I, you know, it starts with me. So we're going to look at this. I think we're going to really break it into two buckets. One is going to be, what can we implement in the next 30 days that, and whatever, you know, massaging of rules, changing of rules, and how we enforce, you know, and then as well as what the long-term, you know, health of the operation. I think there's a lot of positives potentially with an operator, you know, lessons and, you know, where you could really accentuate the value of having this park, you know? And so we haven't decided on that yet, but we're starting to, you know, have some of that conversation that brings us better value of having a park that's this nice. But I do want to say we aren't not doing anything at this point. We, you know, we do have police doing foot patrols through there. You know, that's difficult to enforce full time for a police officer. But so, you know, we had a conversation collectively yesterday, and I would think our goal is in the next week or so to at least know what those short term changes are going to be.
Great. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, this is a good problem, right? The problem is a lot of people like the brand new park. You know, that's the kind of problem that you want, and they want
right.
to use it. And by the way, I had not thought about it, but you're exactly right. It's a great point that noise for the surrounding neighborhood can't possibly be an issue, because there's no chance you're hearing skaters over the sound of the interstate, which is right there. You know, that's obviously that's right. But I guess, you know, my lean, and I express this on the air, but I just tell you directly, you know, my lean is, hey, let it be open, and, you know, maybe we find out if there is a limit on the hours that it should be open, but, you know, maybe try just a, hey, here we go. This is kind of how we're going to do it. Because you've already said it, you know, you can't task a PPD with enforcing something that's unenforceable, and you want to make sure that the rules make sense. And the fact that it doesn't have a fence around it, which I think is, I've been to ones that have fences, I've been to ones that don't, and, you know, there's aesthetic value in not having a fence around the park. I will say this, I like your idea. Your idea of having somebody who might have a financial interest to be there, but please don't make it a charge for use. That'd be my one very strong, please don't make it a charge so that kids have to pay a fee to go use the park. That would be, I would not support you on that.
No, totally understand that. And we would not consider that. Now, it might be that, hey, as part of the trade-off, because, I mean, look, remember what the city's cost would be to have an attendant here. I mean, you're talking about 12-plus hours a day,
right,
7 days a week. I mean, that's multiple people. That's a six-figure, a strong six-figure number to be able to operate it.
And not at the times that are a concern, right? Not at the night times when there's the concern.
Correct. And look, we do this already, right? We do this at Roger Scott. We do this at other, you know, we have private operators who come in and say, hey, you know, if we have some financial interest. Now, what would be different about Roger Scott, to your point, is that, you know, the elements of this would remain free. But I imagine an operator would say, hey, look, we'll operate it. We'll secure it. But, you know, we want to be able to have lessons there that we charge for. Well, yeah. Great. I think that's a good thing for our youth. You know, I think so. Yes, I totally understand. And I agree with your point. This is not to privatize it, but to how can we help offset some of the expense of being able to police? Because this is different. This is not building an amenity in a neighborhood that stays relatively passive, that may have a playground.
Right.
We have invited people to this the same way we've invited people to a day use marina. But what's going to happen when we open? 48 boats are going to show up. So that's where, you know, we probably had a misstep in saying, hey, this is different than just your normal park opening. This is, we are telling people to come here. We are encouraging them to come here. And we've got to be able to have a way to enforce these rules. So I do want to also put it in context.
Hey, hold on. Mayor, hold on just a second. Hold on just a second. I want to get to the rest of the thought, but let me get a quick traffic report from Candy in here.
Real quick, Davis Highway south of Creighton showing an accident but not a roadblock. Traffic tips 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You were saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that. So, look, I think there's two things to keep in context here. It's not as if the, you know, our police, you know, 911 is ringing off the hook with complaints yet. You know, we obviously see that some of the rules aren't being enforced, but, you know, we aren't in a situation where we're being reactionary to, you know, a lot of legal complaints at this point. It's just the fact that we've got rules posted that, you know, are difficult and or impossible to enforce at this point. And second, we do have to keep in context, like you said, this is new. So decisions we make are in perpetuity, right, at this park. And
right.
So we don't want to overreact to the demand that's there now versus what we think the demand's going to be long term, although I do believe it will remain.
I agree.
You know, at the end of the day, we've got to look at those both ways.
And also, I think what I also heard you saying was that the city is exploring the possibility of building a BMX track right nearby so that we could solve everybody's problems, right?
Yeah. Once we get this one figured out, you call me about the next BMX.
I know. I'm just messing with you, but I know the BMX folks would be like, oh, that'd be great. Milton has one. Why can't we? Hey, one of the other things, you kind of buried the lead in your press conference yesterday a little bit, and you just mentioned it, the day use marina at Community Maritime Park. 2 weeks. Is that right? We're going to open this thing in 2 weeks is the goal?
Yeah, absolutely. That's our goal, shooting for the 24th or 25th. We'll have some more information out officially, but at the end of the day, this is a perfect example. I keep comparing the two because think about how many people are involved in a day use marina. It's going to be the port, public works and construction, parks and rec, the police department to enforce. I mean, we're even talking about potentially putting, you know, the Pensacola fire boat down there. I mean, there are so our meeting that we have another one today feels like about half the departments in the city are involved. So fortunately we caught this one and have delayed the start of this. I mean, it is built, but this is something that we, you know, weren't going to open until we had a clear understanding of how it was going to operate, who's securing it, you know, hours, all those things we have now caught and, you know, are well on track. So we kind of have a check-in meeting today, and we're well on track to get this thing done and ready to go here in a couple of weeks.
No, that's great. And that makes sense. You know, so you don't figure out that what you did was a ready shoot aim. You're trying to make it a ready aim shoot, which I very much appreciate that. Last thing here real quickly is, if you had a takeaway from yesterday's joint meeting with the county and the presentation by Dr. Savage about homelessness, what's the thing that you took away that you think is going to make a difference for homelessness in our area?
Well, first of all, if we're going to make a difference in homelessness, it comes from one sole function, which is alignment regionally. And I mean by the city and the county and our COC. I mean, because right now we all kind of have our own plans, all well intended. And at the end of the day, if we want federal funding to help reduce homelessness here, which is the largest fucking money, maybe unprecedented, well, I know unprecedented so far, then we have to get behind the same vision, the same strategy. And that was my hope of when I, you know, leaned on the Interdepartmental Agency of Homelessness to come visit us. As I said, guys, that's what we need. We need that tipping point where we all can look each other in the eye, understand what the data says, and how we move forward. So I would say the biggest takeaway for me is not so much a data point. There was a lot of interesting ones, but it's more so in how do we now say, guys, we heard what they're talking about at the federal level. This is where the funding to help come up with solutions is going to come from. What are the one or two things we can get behind? We don't have to carbon copy the entire federal strategic plan and try to implement it in 1 year. How do we get behind a couple different ideas here that we're just in complete alignment on? If we do that, if we're talking a year from now and we've done that, I think that would be a huge success for us as a community.
No, I love that. Pick one or two things that you think are high likelihood of working, and you can get started on them and then, you know, adapt from there. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round for you, Mayor Reeves. I don't know your level of Star Wars fandom, but I'm going to presume it's at least average. There is a lot of vehicles, a lot of transportation, a lot of, spaceship. Do you have a favorite vehicle from the Star Wars universe?
I laughed to myself when I heard you talking about Star Wars a couple of days ago, only because I have not seen any Star Wars. I'm like that guy that as a point of pride.
Cut the interview. I'm like the Skanska guy with Channel 3. Cut it off.
You want to play Oscar music?
All right, fine. We'll let you have the pass for now. Remedial education to follow. Are you a gift card giver or do you not? Do you think gift cards are a good gift?
No, only because I know the other side of it as a former gift card seller that I think the redemption 63%. So most people don't turn them in. So I feel like that people don't care about them. That's a good enough data point for me.
So it's great for the business that sells them.
The most educated answer I've ever heard.
That's a fantastic answer. No, yeah. Absolutely. And last thing is, on spoilers for movies or TV shows, do you care whether you know the ending? Do you like to know the ending or would you rather be surprised?
Definitely rather be surprised. No, I'm disappointed if I get a spoiler.
All
absolutely.
Right. A little bit of redemption from the Star Wars thing, but you'll work on it, I know. All right, homework for Mayor Reeves. Mayor Reeves, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, and we'll look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night.
Hey, I was watching football for a living. I mean, that's a three-hour game. That's all my movie time. So.
That's all right. I'll allow it. Mayor Reeves, we'll talk to you again soon. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time. And it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled? Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
April showers bring May savings at Beret Jewelers. We're ringing in spring with special deals on your shining favorites during Beret's Blooming Blowout Sale. Save up to 70% on select pieces May 5th through May 31st. From top designers to beautiful bridal jewelry, you'll find something to love. So hurry into shop and save up to 70% off during the spring sale of the season. All month long at Beret Jewelers.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Life After 50 Expo is Friday at Sanders Beach Corinne Jones Center. Learn what seniors need to know at this free event. HappeningNextDoor.com for more. The annual Pensacola Kids Fishing Clinic is Saturday at Maritime Park. Registration begins at 8:30. The first 350 kids, ages 5 to 15, accompanied by an adult, get free instruction and a fishing combo. See Pensacola.fish for more info. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade, afternoons at 11, before Dave Ramsey, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We found Rambo's body. As a matter of fact, it stole an army truck, blew up a gas station the other side of town.
The kid is resilient.
I got a text in from a friend. Never a Star Wars. What in the world? Hashtag not my mayor. But he was joking. He's a very sweet guy. He was totally joking. Somebody else says, Andrew, I think it's imperative to health and safety of the city of Pensacola and the surrounding residents that Mayor DC be immediately brought up to speed with the Star Wars franchises. The Force depends on it. You guys are the best.
100%. So much the best. Absolutely.
Candy, tell them about the traffic.
We are watching an accident on Davis Highway. This is just south of Creighton, showing an accident, but not showing a slowdown or a roadblock. So that's moved off to the side. And East Bay Boulevard and Navarre south of Coppell closed, part of the drainage improvement project. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. Now to the newsroom where David Wayne's got our headlines. David?
Well, Goldman Sachs settling accusations of discriminating against women for pay and promotions for $215 million. That settlement was disclosed Monday. It covers nearly 3,000 current and former employees who worked in investment banking, management, and securities. The U.S. now has an embassy in Tonga. The opening of this embassy, part of the Biden administration's campaign to counter China's growing push for influence in the region. It's the second embassy to be opened in the Pacific Islands this year after they reopened one in the Solomon Islands in February.
Is that guy from the Olympics at all involved? Remember the Tonga guy, oily guy, you know?
When he was... Yeah.
Meredith Vieira's hottie to toddie. Go ahead, David. Sorry. And,
hey, you may remember we talked about that high school student that got $10 million in scholarship offers recently. Well, he's on his way to the Ivy League now. Dennis Barnes is a 16-year-old senior in New Orleans.
Who going to Iowa State?
Surprisingly not. Surprisingly. I can't believe it. He got offers from 188 different colleges and universities, more than any other college-bound senior in the nation's history, they say. And he has announced that he'll be attending Cornell University in Ithaca, New York.
All right. Very good. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, if you ever want to weigh in on anything. You should put it in your phone. I don't mean to tell you your business, but put it in your phone.
Plus that way you can call and win stuff.
Yeah, you can call and win some stuff. Also, you can call and give us feedback. Also, you can call if you see a traffic text if you see a traffic incident, whatever. Don't text and drive, though. And put it in there under, you know, Those Dummies in the Morning or News Radio or Andrew
or
and Candy.
Hot stuff.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever helps you remember, you know, that's fine. 437-1620. That's the number that you want.
If you put candy in, your spouse is going to have an issue.
Well, I don't know. You know,
not yours. Who's candy? Yeah.
When I say Porsche, Mercedes, BMW, Genesis, Audi, Jaguar, Lexus, right? Nice high-end import vehicles. You pay a little extra to get them. You do not have to pay a lot extra to service them. You don't have to take them to the dealership. If that dealership is in Mobile, you don't have to cross the water, spend the time and the extra money. You can go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on these cars all the time. Domestics too, trucks too, diesel engines. Yes, they do that. CarClinicService.com is the website because they view your car like a body. Like, you know, you take your body to the doctor and have them check it out. And, you know, your body is self-healing. So, weirdly, your car needs that even more than your body because your car does not self-heal. That's not how that works. But you do need the routine preventative maintenance in order to make sure you avoid the big things. Again, Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. What else do we have going on? Oh, congratulations to Robert De Niro. 7-time daddy now at the age of 79.
Can he even pick him up?
I don't ask these questions. I'm pro-life. I like people who make babies. I know the impulse is to criticize. Oh, my goodness. I think he's got like a teenager also. So, you know, if he wants to make more babies, God likes people too, right?
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.